Dr. Marty Lee Harwood has been a wonderful touchstone for us right throughout the pandemic, which has gone on for a couple of years now, but it seems that it has the potential to go on for another couple as people talk of long COVID. Thanks for your time, Marty Lee. Tēnā koe.
Good morning.
What's long COVID, Marty Lee?
So long COVID is a syndrome where you experience symptoms lasting longer than a month after you've recovered from the COVID. And recent studies of thousands and thousands of people across the world, including Indigenous peoples, have shown some of the more common, symptoms associated with that. They can cover all the organs of our body, and the most common ones include fatigue, tiredness, breathlessness, but it can affect things like your heart, so you can have ongoing palpitations, fluttering of the heart rhythm. Some people experience brain fog, so they're less likely to be able to concentrate for longer periods, and these sorts of things can last for months after you've had COVID.
You've got to know when to hold them and know when to fold them, and you've got to know when to walk away and know when to run. This is the gambler, of course. Sometimes we need to accept, don't we, Marty, that we might have lost the race. A good idea sometimes is to cut your losses. This go home, stay home that we are adhering to at the moment in the face of the rampant Omicron situation. Is it working now? Do you, as a Māori doctor, do you still favour the strategy we're utilising today on February the 28th?
Yeah, so it's interesting because it's actually 2 years today when we were first hit with COVID in Aotearoa. So it is good to look back and think about some of the things that we have learnt. I think we did learn that the elimination strategy worked when there were the more serious variants of the COVID, the Delta and the one prior to that, where we were seeing much higher death rates than you are seeing at the moment with the Omicron. But as you say, the infectiousness of Omicron means that it is more difficult to apply that sort of strategy to. And so we're seeing it going through communities, especially here in South Auckland, through households, through schools. And so that sort of a strategy just isn't going to work anymore. And it is a matter now of trying to suppress it as much as we can. We have whānau asking me all the time, should I just let it rip through the whānau? Once one member has got it, is it better knowing that we are probably all going to get it at some stage to just let it rip is what many people are talking about. And I guess I'm still trying to say that you can prevent it from going through houses, through whare, by using masks, by isolating from the person who does have an infection. And certainly if there are vulnerable people at home, that would still be my recommendation. If everybody is well and you think you can manage with this infection, then it may be better for everybody to do it at once, to have the infection together so that you come out of isolation quicker. And that means you can get back to work and get back to school. The issue with Omicron, which we don't know enough about, is that it does seem that you can become reinfected again, sometimes as early up to 4 weeks after you've had the infection. So it is a real balance, and we're still learning about how to manage this properly and what's going to be best, particularly for Māori whānau.
I get a bit hoha with Michael Baker, Susie Wiles, and their modelling. Sometimes I think they're out of touch with us in the south side where, schools are closing. It's just so rampant. Our moko tested positive too, and I'm hoha because they had been very careful. Picked it up at school. So, The education minister, I'm thinking, in such a hurry to get our kids back to school because there's votes in it. And now they're vulnerable. So are we being guided by people who are up in the hills somewhat protected from it?
I've been feeling a little bit the same around, especially around the schools when they say, it doesn't seem to be spreading amongst the schools. children have more mild disease, whereas we are starting to see more and more, as you say, children, and certainly when I was testing the other day at Tapakuramarae, I would say 50% of those people coming in for, and at that time we were still doing the nasopharyngeal swabs, 50% were children who'd been exposed to it in school, and 50% of the people who were positive that day were school children. So I agree. I think we need to continue to collect this sort of data, both anecdotal, you know, this is what's happening in our communities until we get that better, robust sort of numbers, and feed that back to the people who are making the decisions. I'm also saying to whānau who are scared about sending their children to school, then don't. You should be doing what you know is right for your whānau. And as soon as I've had a little bit of a tickly throat, I've tested myself, but I thought, actually, I'm going to keep my kids home just in case that I've got the infection, or if I hear about cases going around the school, I've had no hesitation to keep the children home. And it's been interesting, it's actually managed to keep them safe when many of their classmates have gone down. So I'm saying this to whānau, you're in the best place to make the decision, the best decision for your tamariki, for your whānau, and I would support that.
Kia ora. When we talk about frontline kaumahi, one of our dear friends is a frontline vaccinator. She's now tested positive. So it's a reminder that every day people in PPE gear trying to look after the masses put themselves and their own whānau in great harm and great risk. What's happening at Papakura on frontline staff? Because we're getting reports back that people are getting frustrated having to wait and therefore verbally abusing some who, as I've just touched on, are doing this for the community good, and you know, in sweltering conditions in PPE, it must be pretty distressing late in the day for them. Has there been that level of abuse that the media are pointing to? Do you know of this?
So we have had some people abuse us. I've been yelled at the clinic as I'm returning after seeing going around visiting 12 whare around Papakura, Takanini, Manurewa, visiting whānau with COVID. I have returned to the clinic and been yelled at by some protesters outside the clinic that accusing me of killing people with a jab, and that has been distressing. In addition to knowing that we are seeing hundreds and hundreds of people coming in for either the vaccine or the swab, as well as trying to see people who are also very sick. And as you say, it's been hot. People are scared. We're wearing PPE gear. And then coming home to our own whānau and our children who may have been exposed to COVID at school, you know, trying to manage both sides of things, both the work side of COVID, but also looking after our own whānau and keeping them safe. But once we do get to speak with those people on a one-to-one basis and explain, and that they see the hard work that they're doing, they're always very appreciative. But yeah, I just ask that people continue to be kind to each other, but to especially to our health workers who, as you say, are working, we're working long, long hours, physical work, running around trying to keep everybody safe, including our own whānau. So yeah, please continue to be kind to us. We're doing the best that we can in what is a very challenging situation.
Martini, thank you. Thanks for the honesty that you spoke to us with today as a mum, but also as somebody who's been in the health sector for such a long time. 2 years on today, and you sense that burnout is pretty real, and levels of frustration extremely high. All the best to you, Martini, till we get a chance to talk again. Kia ora.
Ngā mihi.